This is your moment to maximize. Maximize moments with Milton Audio Experience.
Hey, Maximizers, this is Milton Herring coming at you today. We got an interview today with my good friend Evan Money. And Evan, really no words can express how awesome he is and all the cool things he's done in his lifetime. And I think, is it evanmoney.com where they can find more about you, my friend?
That is the one. That is the one.
And we're going to talk about books. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about mindset. And I know you guys are going to enjoy it today. So let's kick it off today. Evan Money, you are number one bestseller on Amazon right now. And the title of your book is Money Talks, Negativity Walks. Why don't you just give us a brief snapshot? And I talk about brief because that's going to play into what your book kind of is mapped after. So go ahead and let's talk about that.
All right. So it is a fast, fun read that is guaranteed to lift your spirits and massively increase your health, relationships, and finances. And it's bite-sized nuggets of wisdom that you can instantly apply to your life. And I give inspiring messages that, again, guaranteed to unlock the solutions to your biggest challenges. And I'm a big, firm believer in what good is a nugget of wisdom if you can't digest it. So it's got to be short, easily digestible. We're talking 1-2-page chapters. So you can read, apply, and grow. So that's the whole premise of the book.
That is wonderful. I love bite-sized chapters. And we've had a little discussion about that, how really, you know, I think your book is a bridge between, you know, where our society is, where reading is really on a decline, but, you know, books are still being sold. You know, people are still wanting to look at something, but there's still maybe a gap that needs to be bridged between, you know, getting people from the cover really to digesting the material. And I think the book does that. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. And here's a good stat for you. 95% of the people that buy a nonfiction book, Milton, never finish the book.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So what you said was so apropos. It's a lot. Yeah. Plenty of people buy. Very few read. They do what's called shelf help. You know, they buy the book and stick it on the shelf. And it's like, you know, the book you read isn't going to help. Or the book you didn't read isn't going to help. So you got to take it off the shelf, actually get through it. But I don't blame a lot of people. I mean, I've had books that I, you know, heard about, people were raving about, and I was like, oh, I got to get it. So I Amazon Prime it shows up, and I'm starting to read. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, we're on page 50, and I'm like, dude, you could have told me that in one paragraph. What are we doing here? So, but I understand in the book world, when it's on a shelf, you know, if you're paying for it, you're saying, oh, I want to get – I'm paying for it. I want it as big as possible. But that doesn't really apply to a book getting finished or read. So I'd rather have somebody buy one of my books and actually be able to read it and get through it. So henceforth, the short chapters, bite-sized, easily digestible, and easily applicationable, because I don't want people to sit and ponder on something for a year. I want them to close the book and go take action on it right now.
Yeah. And I think that's true. In your history of writing as an author, Nevin, your other book, Take Action and the World Is Yours, you have a style that really does hit you where you need to get hit in that moment. And it doesn't take, like you said, it doesn't take 50 pages to get to the point across. And I think that's so key. And if people want to read, they want to listen, just like your app too. And listeners, you know, if you don't know, Evan Money does have a app. And what's your app called again? It's
just Evan Money. So whether it's Apple or the other one, you know, you just go to your app store and just type in Evan Money and it pops right up.
Yeah, and I love it when you send it out, and it's usually a quote or a story that ties in, that's impactful, that's now, and that's quick and to the point, and you don't pull any punches, you don't leave people guessing or thinking. It's what you need at that moment, and I appreciate you doing that as well. And I enjoy listening to those episodes when you do send those out. So continue to do that. So Maximizers, guys, download the app as well. Also go to Amazon, grab that book. Money Talks, Negativity Walks. Just a couple things about the book real quick, Evan. We discussed about, you know, we talked about the 98% and the 2%. and we talked about really the society that we live in, how it's really it's bent towards maybe a negative culture, I guess. And a lot of people need optimism, they need encouragement, they need their spirits lifted. Could you speak a little bit more on that?
Absolutely. No, great question. I really dove into this when I was interviewing Darren Hardy, the former publisher of Success. I think many of your listeners are familiar with Darren. And we really dove into this, and he was telling me off camera. He said, you know, Ev, and I'll never forget this story. He goes, think about it. And at the time, I think Darren splits between San Diego and Miami. I mean, he's all over the place. But we were in San Diego at the time, and he goes, you think about it. You know, you look at all the traffic on the 5 freeway. So if anybody that's ever been on the 5 to San Diego, you know what traffic's like. And he goes, it's so interesting. He's like, you're driving on the freeway, and there's an accident on the other side of the freeway. So in California, you know, we got these big dividers, and we try to keep people's eyes from even looking over there. But, you know, you see some lights on the other side of the freeway, way cleared off. You know, it's not even near you. And the first thing we do is we slow down. And what do? Well, we look. And we rubberneck and slow down, hit the brakes. And yet, on the right-hand side, if you're going south on the 5, there's an epic sunset every night on everybody's drive home. And everybody just flies right by it, and nobody looks. And we're just wired. I know God created, we wired us this way for the negative, more of a survival instinct. And so what the media has done is they figure that out. And so that's how they draw us in. I mean, think about it. You go to the airport, and can you imagine a little ticker on CNN saying, hey, weather's great, world's great, you know, life's tremendous. You know, you're just going to walk right by. Nobody cares. But it's got to be a crisis. You know, that's why it's Crisis News Network. You know, crisis over here, crisis over there, crisis, crisis, because they have to get your attention. And so the media has understood that, hey, it's got to be negative to get your attention. And so we as the 2%ers got to realize that, hey, we're naturally wired to do that. So what we need to do is start connecting to not fake news, but good news and saying, hey, you know what? It's probably not the best thing to start my day with CNN. It's probably not the best day. Like my bride just recently, just think about this. My bride updated her phone, and with the phone, you get these automatic updates, right? You don't think about. So whenever you would check, turn your phone on, there'd be a scroll of top news, you know, of the day. And, you know, you can just flip it and turn it off, but it's there. And so I told my bride, I said, you got to go in there and change that. She goes, I never look. I go, I know, but it's still there. You know, and you may glance at it, but it's just we're inundated with all this negative. So you got to actually go into your settings, yep, you know, in your mind and in your phone and say, hey, how can I eliminate this bad news and where can I find some good news? And so a great way to start your day is with Money Talks and Negativity Walks, or another positive, amazing book that's been on the number one bestseller list. I mean, I'm an Amazon number one bestseller. It's exciting, but I'll tell you a book that's been on the Amazon number one bestselling list for the last at least 500 years, and that is the Bible.
Ooh.
And they don't even list it on the bestseller list because people are like, oh, nobody wants to see that. They're tired of it. So you talk about some good news in the morning. Hey, crack that one open. And talk about short and sweet, right? I mean, it's right to the point. Doesn't pull any punches. That's why I love the book of Proverbs. That was another inspiration for Money Talks, Negativity Walks. It was like, hey, 2 sentences. It's like, wow, I'm good. Okay, I can take action on that. So I think from our mindset, it's understanding we need to be intentional about seeking good news in the morning rather than letting be inundated by the world and their bad news, because it's, you know, it's thrown at us everywhere. So we got to set up the intentional blocks and say, hey, I want to start my day with some great news and be a good news person. So when somebody asks me how I'm doing, hey, I got great news for you. Hey, let me tell you something exciting. So that's kind of my thoughts on that one.
I love it. And I think, you know, Proverbs, come on now. I mean, how much wisdom and nuggets is in that book in one chapter? I think you can – oh, my goodness. Anyways, guys, Maximizers, if you don't read the good book, the Bible, pick it up. Start with Proverbs. Get you a good translation and roll with it, and you'll be surprised after 30-day stint of it how much change it'll make in your life and impact you. Evan, relationship goals. Talk to us. Relationship goals. Talk to the audience. Give me you recently just set a new site on a long-term goal. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. So as a Utah guy now, Milton, I'll tell you who started the trend first. I got a chance to connect with him a little bit, and we were talking about possibly doing a movie with him. But he's the guy that invented the 50-50-50. He did 50 Ironmans, full length, not this half or quarter stuff. He did 50 full-length Ironmans back-to-back in 50 consecutive days in 50 states.
No way.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Way. Oh, my.
Yeah, he did it. Unbelievable. And his times actually started getting better, if you can believe that.
Wow.
So this guy's super athlete. But he kind of inspired me, and I was like, okay, 50-50-50. I was like, yeah, you know, kind of stuck with me. It's kind of a, you know, catchy name. I was like, So many of your listeners know that my bride and I, we get remarried in a different state or country every year.
Yes.
That's right. And for the guys listening, that means a different honeymoon every year. Yes! I still cannot fathom, Milton, why any red-blooded American, or international man for that reason, would settle for just one honeymoon. I mean, why would you do that?
Why?
Why? So from the honeymoon aspect, it's just exciting. But we get remarried different state or country every year. So my new goal is we're going to get – by my 100th birthday, we are going to get married 100 times. So on my 100th birthday, that will be our 100th wedding. So that is the new big goal, and that constitutes relationships, and that constitutes health, and also finances it in there because we want it to be a nice wedding, right?
So right.
That's kind of what I'm all about, is – helping people bring their dreams to life and improve health, relationships, and finances. So that one goal kind of encompasses everything. So we are super excited about it. So we just got back from wedding number 23 in Vancouver, BC. Had a blast. And for those that are excited and love to see wedding pictures and all of that, you can visit evanlovessusan.com. Whole thing spelled out, Evan Loves Susan, back to back S's, evanlovessusan.com. And I've got pictures of all our weddings on there. And there's pictures of me with hair, if you can believe that. So, we go way back, baby. Go way back.
Now, I'm going to ask you something, Evan. I mean, this is going to probably get a little more deeper. You obviously, I mean, and it comes across the joy and the spirit you have in relation regarding your wife and bride, and how that overflows to your children. And even overflows to other parts of your life, whether it's your health or your business and everything else that you're doing. Talk to me. I'm Joe Scott on the street, and I need some help. How did you, Evan, help me get to that point where I see my relationships as deeply as you do? What do I need to do?
That is a fantastic question. I do know Joe Scott, just so you know. So.
Joe, if you're listening, I didn't mean to call you out like that.
Yeah, I've got a couple, and I'll tell you what, Milton, I love going deep. And when I connect and converse, especially with males, I understand you either got to go right to the bone or you're going to sit on the surface for the next 20 years.
Right.
So I love digging in. I love going deep. So bring it on, my friend. But for Joe Scott, assuming Joe Scott's married, I'm going to give him some marriage advice. And I'm going to give just I'm not married yet advice. So, and these are just kind of mindsets and things to think about. So, we were talking earlier, you know, regarding this. Michael Beckwith taught me this one, and I kind of rephrased it. But again, I still have to give him props because, you know, he cut his hair to look like me now. So, The reality is that the state that you were married in, that doesn't govern your marriage. The state doesn't govern your marriage. Rather, your state of mind does. And so most people are usually in a marriage relationship. They're struggling. They're either married and miserable or they're divorced and desperate. And so that state of mind doesn't help anything. So it's about changing that state of mind. That's one of the reasons we get remarried in a different state or country every year, because it changes our state. We're either planning a wedding, which we're excited about because your first wedding is so stressful. Oh my gosh, I don't know why anyone settled for having just one, because it was so stressful. You worry about Aunt Martha and where's she gonna sit? No, what kind of cake? Da, da, da. But after 23 weddings, it's just fun. It's no stress. We spend our time, the people that officiate our wedding, we spend most of our time calming them down because they're thinking, oh, it's gonna be perfect and all this. We're like, dude, we've done this 23 times. It's gonna be a blast. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. So, again, so I'm either planning a wedding or I'm on a post-honeymoon bliss. So I'm in that state, the way the world looks, the way I look at my bride, everything shifts. And so from a marriage perspective, I would just encourage people to understand that you have to break the if-then cycle. You know, well, you know, if she would do this, then I would do that. Or if he would do this, then I would do that. You know, this if-then, 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 if-then. Well, if he'd pick up more around the house, or if she'd pay more attention to me, or, if, you know, if she was a little more romantic, or, you know, if-then, if-then, if-then. You have to break that cycle. That cycle has to break. And so you need to, you know, the term, you know, you're in Utah recording this, so we use some cowboy terms, right?
Yeah.
You know, you heard it. You got a cowboy up. And so, hey, cowboy, when was the last time you did the dishes? You know? And my bride her love language happens to be, you know, you talk about bestsellers. I mean, hey, I'm an Amazon number one bestseller, but guess what? You know, the five love languages has been on the bestseller list for 25 years.
Long time.
Yes. And there's a reason for that. So with me, my bride's love language is acts of service. So when I do dishes, great things happen in the bedroom. So I embrace the dishwashing. I have cowboyed up and done the dishes, and it plays great benefits.
And so
rather than the classic, you know, I'm gonna yell at the fire. And for the ladies, right, you know, I'm gonna nag the fireplace and nag at the fireplace until it gives me fire without giving it any wood. You know, you got to give it some wood. So someone's got to break that cycle and step up and say, you know what? I'm going to be the first to forgive. I'm going to be the first to say, hey, I don't feel like doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And coming it from that angle instead of playing the if-then game, because the if-then game doesn't get you anywhere. The if-then game gets you divorced. That's where it gets you. And so from a relationship side, that can be done even if you're not married or with the boss or whatever. You got to break the if-then cycle. And then to Joe Scott, regarding relationships, the next thing that is incredibly healing, incredibly impactful is ROF. So I want everybody to write that down, ROF.
ROF, okay.
Yeah. Everybody's familiar with ROI, you know, my return on investment here. But ROF is return on forgiveness. And yes, I'm talking about forgiveness. And I know most of us, all of us, have that one person. You know, that doesn't deserve it. I'm good with forgiveness, but not that person. You know, anybody but that person. We're always holding on to that one. And I had that one for a long time. That one was my dad. So I was formerly the president of the Father Son Issues Club. And I have since stepped down from that position. it's interesting, the year I finally forgave my dad, Milton, that's the year I tripled my income. So how many of you listening to this podcast right now would love to triple your income? Oh, yeah, you know, what are you going to imagine tripling your income? What would you do with that kind of capital? Well, here's the best way to do it. Start forgiving. And I'm talking about that person, you know, the one that doesn't deserve it. And yes, I know, Lev, you don't understand what that person did to me. You're absolutely right. I don't understand. But it's not about them. It's about you. It's about you. You get to forgive them. You get to break the cycle. The only person that's losing here is you. You have to break that cycle. And so I did a podcast recently, and we talked about this, and it was so interesting. The host actually emailed me back today and said, gosh, Ev, you know what? I went back over the notes of the podcast, and I did what you said. You know, I ended up writing my dad a letter. And my dad died a couple years ago, and I never really had closure on some of my father-son issues. And, you know, his dad my dad would be 96 today, so that kind of gives you an idea of where he was age-wise. But he waited that long to finally settle these father-son issues with ROF. And he's like, just thank you so much. I wrote that letter. I feel so much better. So I'm going to encourage your listeners to do the same thing. Doesn't matter if the person's alive or dead, but get out a pen and a piece of paper, not a text, not an email, but a pen and a piece of paper, and start writing. Proven, and I'll give you another one. You thought – tripling your income doesn't get your attention. How would you like to increase your income 1,000-fold, Milton?
Oof.
Yeah.
Bring
yeah,
it.
You run those numbers, right? Let's run those numbers. 1,000%, okay, increase. So check this out. So there was a young man who was sexually abused when he was young consistently, and on top of that, he was physically abused by his father. To the tone of he was in a coma for 3 days because his dad beat him up one day so bad. Yeah, that was his world. and he was in his early teens, and Oprah Winfrey was on, and Oprah was talking about the cathartic process, which I didn't know what that word meant at the time, and neither did the guy when he was telling the story. It was pretty funny. He's telling the story, and he's like, I don't know what cathartic meant. I'm like, gosh, I don't either. Let me go Google that and look it up. But it was such a cleansing. Oprah was talking about the cleansing experience of writing, of journaling. So he's like, what the heck? What do I got to lose? You know, I just got out of a coma. You know, I got all this negative stuff. So he started writing, but he was so scared that someone would find his journal and then, you know, hey, look at this. Whoa. So he changed the names of everybody. And okay. So he just made up characters. He made up characters, but he was basically journaling about his life and cleansing from that. And it was those journals that a friend actually found a couple of years later, maybe 4 or 5 years later, and said, wow, man, this stuff is pretty good. Who are these people? You ought to do a play or something like that. And so from those journals is what became the material for Tyler Perry's plays that everyone now knows about. And so here's the interesting part. Here's what I'm getting. A lot of people don't know the story. They kind of know about Tyler Perry and the plays, but in the beginning, Tyler, for a couple years, he was trying to put these plays on, and they were massive failures, Milton. I mean, people were like walking out in the middle, you know? You know it's bad when they're walking out.
When right? They're booing, you're walking. Yeah, when they're just walking out, yeah.
So when we had the big premiere of Words of Art, you know, one of my documentaries, you know, all my documentaries, everyone has stayed in their seats, right? You know, they all, at least they stayed, right? They didn't just get out and walk out of the theater. So people were walking out of the theater, and he just couldn't figure it out. He was losing money, sleeping in his car. I mean, a lot of people know that story. But people don't know that when his success hit was when he finally forgave his dad, Milton. He said, you know what? I'm finally going to forgive my father for all the junk that he did to me. And the year he forgave his dad, that is when his plays took off. That's when his writing changed. And his income went up 1,000 times. Mm. Yeah. Now, obviously, when you're sleeping in your car, you're not making a whole lot of money. So,
right.
1,000 times anything is really good. So, hey, for me, it was triple. For Tyler Perry, it was 1,000. But that is the power of forgiveness. So I just encourage Joe Scott, anybody listening, to leverage that power today. And so if that person's not alive, write that letter. You know, you can write it. You can take it to their gravesite. You can write it and, you know, burn it up, or you can write it and stick it somewhere. But you have to write the letter. Write that letter and watch what happens.
Awesome. As Joe, I appreciate your advice, Evan, and your guidance and direction. I'm going to work on my state of mind. I'm going to work on ROF, and I'm going to figure out my wife's love language. So I want to make some investments that'll pay some dividends down the road. So I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Hey, guys, if you ever really do want to get deeper relationship advice, go ahead and find Evan Money. Listen to him. Follow him. And I guarantee you'll be not only encouraged in your relationships, but you'll also be inspired to do more, because I think we all have this one life to live, and it's going to come to an end at some point. But one thing that you'll always know at the end of your life, and you can hear this, Evan, is the relationships that you have. It's not how much money always you have. It's not how many toys you collected. It's not how many accolades you were given. It's the relationships that you've invested in. It's relationships that you've poured into and that you continue to leave a legacy behind with. And I want to encourage you that. And Evan, thank you for being such an example to us. And I want to kind of close this out, this segment out. And guys, we're going to have Evan back on again. But I want him to really share about, you gave me a great quote recently, and I want you to leave us with a good nugget talking about the grass is greener, and I want you to share that and really send us out with a new perspective on our current state and where we're at, and how to live life in this moment and to be in this moment and not to think about things that you don't have, or you know, you go ahead and lead us out, and I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely, Mel. So the simple truth is, the grass is greener where you water it. Now, I didn't come up with that quote, and unfortunately, I don't have who wrote it, but I'm giving it to you. The grass is greener where you water it. I mean, you are the green in your grass. And so many people think that, oh, gosh, if I just get over there, it's going to be so much better. And what happens? They get over there, and then they bring their brown grass with them. you're the green in your grass. You've got to water the grass. And what happens is when you're watering your grass and you're tending to your own grass, you don't have time to look at everybody else's. You know, you don't have time to get caught up in the number one disease in America, which is comparitis. So if you're focusing on your own grass and looking, you know, okay, yeah, I can improve here, I can do this, I can water, I can nurture, I can da-da-da. Trust me, you're not going to have any time for comparitis or look at what everybody else is doing. You can just focus on getting your grass as green as possible and then envisioning the day when you can just lay down on that nice, cool, green grass and go, ah, because the grass truly is greener where you water it. And that goes for your health. And those for your relationships. It's not about, oh gosh, if I was married to that person, everything would be different. No, it'd be the same as where you are now because you're in it. So you have to water your own grass. So the grass is greener where you water it. And I encourage you to take action on that.
Awesome. Boom. Thank you, Evan Money. Guys, thanks for joining me today. Evan Money, number one bestseller, author, speaker, coach, millionaire, man of God. Awesome husband and father. Thanks for coming on the show today. Maximizers, you are the greatest asset to your own life. And I appreciate you guys being such an inspiration to so many other people and being an encouragement to me and what I'm doing. So thank you guys. Appreciate your time. God bless you. And we're going to see you down the road. Thanks, Evan.
Woohoo! I appreciate it.
Hey, Maximizers, I really appreciate your attention. If you could 5-star this, like it, share, and comment, I would really appreciate that. Be a river, not a reservoir. You guys are awesome. Thank you for tuning in. Ever so often, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.